Once more, good morning to each and every one of you. And I pray that this time of worshiping and listening to the scriptures is going to be a really uplifting time for each and every one of us. That includes me as well. And I will share what I mean a little bit later. An aspiring young man of faith was randomly chosen to preach at a camp meeting just before the Sunday morning service. As hundreds of people began gathering on the ground, the young preacher panicked and ran into the bishop's tent. "What shall I do, bishop?" he implored. "They've asked me to preach, but I don't have any sermon." "Just trust the Lord." Then the bishop marched out of his tent. Frustrated, the young man picked up the bishop's Bible and flipped through it, hoping to find an inspiring verse. Instead, he found some typewritten sermon notes he liked very much. So he took the bishop's Bible and notes and went to the service. The young preacher amazed everyone with his sermon, and the people crowded around him after the service. Suddenly, the bishop pushed his way through the crowd. "Young man," the bishop thundered, "you preached the sermon I was going to preach tonight. Now, what am I going to do?" "Trust the Lord, bishop," the young man replied. "Just trust the Lord." And I was wondering, maybe because I have prepared this joke to share with you, I have experienced something like this before I came to church. I might have been late even. I usually print out the sermon on Sunday morning before I come to church on Sunday. Every Sunday is my habit, every time. And then, guess what happened this morning? Around like 7:20 or 7:10, the electricity went out. And usually it comes right back. And I was sitting there and I waited and waited. It didn't come back. So I was calling the utility company in Riverside. The line was busy. And I went to Becky and explained what happened. And Becky said, "I don't know. I paid the utility bill on time." She thought that the utility company in Riverside cut out the power line. So I thought, maybe I had to preach without any manuscript. And luckily, it came back. I am so grateful for that. About like 30 minutes later, and I finally printed out the manuscript that I had prepared all week long. But I mean, it was a time of like, actually, you know, the test of my faith. It's like, am I able to memorize all that I prepared and be able to preach without any manuscript? I should have stronger faith instead of, you know, running around and trying to check if there's some problems with the electric lines, and I cut a couple of places on my fingers doing that. We all have faith in God. It is why we are gathered together for worship this morning. Our gathering serves many purposes. It is an important act of confession to acknowledge who God is and who we are. It provides us spiritual nourishment and fellowship with each other. Your presence strengthens and encourages each other for the journey. So now let us ask this question. How strong is our faith? We all have faith, but how strong is it? How do we measure the strength of our faith? Now, the one way to measure, as I have indicated, is crisis. when we face crisis, do we still maintain peace, or are we swiftly disturbed by it? Is our faith still at work, or other mechanism of survival kicked in? We would not lose our faith. I mean, you know, we have been through so many trials and we have not lost our faith. But when we face many occasions when we do not use our faith, we have it, but we don't use it, especially during the time of crisis. Some crisis demoralizes us spiritually, makes us at a loss, and we ended up seeking human tools instead of seeking God. And I would like to call this a detachment of faith. Detachment of faith. Let me explain what I mean by detachment of faith. A car has major components such as an engine, a transmission, and wheels. These need to be connected to each other to mobilize a car. If there is a disconnection in between, a car won't go anywhere. Consider an engine as faith, a transmission an act of application, and wheels are where rubber meets the road in contact with actual problems. For a car to move forward, transmission need to be engaged. Likewise, for us to see our faith at work, we need to apply our faith to the problem areas. But our faith is disengaged often, especially during the crisis. We are not motivated to apply faith to problem areas. Why? It is because we think our faith is little too weak to pull the heavy loads of trials. We are right about that. We have a little faith. Do we have faith? And this faith do anything? We tend to comprehend that a little faith is not worth much. Where does this understanding come from? Of course, from our own understanding. You know, we have a little faith, and little faith doesn't do much. And also, interestingly, from the gospel. And let me share. Jesus scolded his followers multiple times for their small faith. During the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught them about worrying needlessly and said, God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Jesus and his disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee and were caught in a sudden storm. The disciples were terrified and feared drowning. Jesus woke up and said, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? He rebuked the winds and the waves, and he was completely calm. The disciples were on a boat in the Sea of Galilee by themselves on one occasion. And Jesus came walking on the sea. Peter walked as Jesus commanded him, but as soon as he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? The Gospels record a few more occasions to demonstrate that a little faith accompanies fear, doubt, and unnecessary worries. Certainly, a little faith is viewed negatively in those places. But that's not all. The gospel also gives us a positive description on a little faith. And that's what we would like to focus on today. In the following places, Jesus highly esteemed a small faith with a huge potential to explain that a small faith could do great things. Jesus used examples of a mustard seed. In Matthew 17, the disciples asked Jesus in private because they could not drive out the demon from the demon-possessed boy. They said, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" Jesus replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." I mean, this is a huge statement. Jesus pointed out that his disciples had so little faith, but at the same time, he said that faith as small as a mustard seed could move mountains and work miracles. Matthew 13, Jesus told the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast and said, "Kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted it in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches." In terms of growth potentials, this parable of a mustard seed agrees with another parable of Jesus on sowing seed in the same chapter. The Philadelphia church to which the letter of Jesus was addressed was a small congregation. Christianity in the first century is called the Apostolic Age, for the apostles were actively serving believers and churches. They were still around. The last apostle was John, who died around 100 AD. Except Jerusalem church, all the early churches during the apostolic age in Asia Minor, that is today's Turkey, were small in size. From the way that the letter was written, the church in Philadelphia was even smaller. It was so small, according to the letter, that it did not have enough resources to get by. In those days, persecutions for Christians were rampant. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, was in exile because of his faith. In spite of many of their disadvantages, the believers in Philadelphia church kept their faith with little strength. And it says, "I know you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." In my opinion, the little strength that it mentions here in the letter is akin to a little faith. Some of us may think that those Christians in the early church were all super strong. Were they really? The book of James, which was written during that apostolic age, somewhere around 65 and 85 AD, made a reference to one of the greatest heroes of the Old Testament, that is Elijah. It says in James 5, "Elijah was just a human being, even as we are. Elijah prayed honestly would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. We may not have the same cruel persecutions that the early Christians suffered, but our life is not without troubles. If the believers in the church in Philadelphia could endure hardship and persecution with little strength and faith, we could do too. See what Jesus said to the church in Philadelphia. I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut because you have a little power and have kept my word and not denied my name. It means that not only does Jesus appreciate a little faith, the small faith you and I have has much value and power. The faith we have is often compared as a hidden jewel. And this happened some years ago at a lapidary, a place to cut precious jewels in Chicago. Gustav Gilman, a Chicago jewelry maker, was at work in his shop when John Milhawk of Omaha entered. Milhawk, who was a daily laborer, drew out of his pocket a rough red stone and handed it to Gilman. I want you to cut and polish this, said Milhawk. Milhawk, where did you get it? Gasped Gilman, as his eyes almost popped out of his head. My father picked it up in Hungary 50 years ago, was the reply of Milhawk. He thought that it was a pretty pebble. When I landed in this country, I found it in my suitcase. It has been lying around the house ever since. I thought that it was no more than a mere pebble. The children play with it. My last baby cut his teeth on it. One night I dreamed it was a diamond worth a lot of money, but it's not a diamond. It is red. No, it's a pigeon blood ruby, said Gilman. What might it be worth? Was the question of Mihawk. I said anywhere from $100,000 to $250,000, answered Gilman. And I mean, this was like a few decades ago. Hearing it, Mihawk almost fainted. He was told that the big rough stone cut to a flawless ruby of 23 9/10 carats was believed to be the largest in this country and possibly the largest in the world. We all have this precious jewel. However, the size would be, we have this precious jewel of faith. We may not appreciate its value as we should, but think about it. By faith, we have come to know God. By faith, not by science, we know that God created the universe. By faith, we know that Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice to forgive our sins. By faith, we know that there is life after death. By faith, we are able to see God's intervention and how God guides us. Faith makes us who we are. We are often discouraged by the enormity of problems and our minuscule faith. But we should not detach our faith from crisis. We need to put our faith and crisis together. We need to engage our faith in the actual problem areas. We need to apply our faith and see how wonderfully God works through the small faith we have. The small faith, as small as the mustard seed, can remove heavy boulders far away from our life's path. Our little faith has helped us overcome many hardships in the past. And look where we are today. With that little faith, we have come this far. See how wonderfully God has guided us and God has led us to where we are today with that little faith. Our little faith has done many wonders. You know, Philadelphia was a place that held this athletic contest. It was known to be that. And in the letter, John was asked to write that if they endure all that hardship, they will receive the crown. Now, crown in Greek is called Stephanos, which refers to the wreath of victory, that is crown, actual crown. When we hold on, keep on using our little faith and apply it to our crisis, in the end, we will all receive this Stephanos, the crown of victory. Faith, however little we may think, is indispensable for the journey. Those of us who keep faith with a little strength will be given the crown of victory at the end of the long race that we have run. And we will continue. Our journey into the new year continues with this little but powerful faith. Amen.